This is the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. We welcome you to listen to our service today. We hope you enjoy the broadcast.
In fancy I stood by the shore one day of the beautiful murmuring sea. I saw the great crowds as they thronged the way of the stranger of Galilee. I saw how the man who was blind from birth in a moment was made to see. His name was made whole by the matchless skill of the stranger of Galilee. And I felt I could love him forever. So gracious and tender was he. I claimed him that day as my Savior, this stranger of Galilee. His look of compassion, his words of love, they shall never forgotten be. When sin sick and helpless he saw me there, this stranger of Galilee. He showed me his hand and his riven side, and he whispered, it was for me. My burden fell off at the pierced feet of the stranger of Galilee. And I felt I could love him forever. So gracious and tender was he. I claimed him that day as my Savior, this stranger of Galilee. Come ye who are driven and tempest-tossed, and his gracious salvation see. He'll quiet life's storms with his peace be still, this stranger of Galilee. He bids me to go and his story tell, what he ever to you will be. If only you let him with you abide, this stranger of Galilee. Oh, my friend, won't you love him forever? So gracious and tender is he. Accept him today as your Savior, this stranger of Galilee.
Thank you. invite you to open up your copy of the Word of God with me today, if you would, to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we will be looking at verses 1 through 8 for our scripture reading this morning. We are currently in our sermon series entitled Sanctification, Striving for Christ's Likeness. And we started looking into the opposition that we face in the process of sanctification last Sunday morning, in case you were not with us. Last Sunday morning we were in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5 in a sermon entitled Opposition and Progressive Sanctification, Part 1. We're going to finish Part 2 this morning. But as we started that last Sunday morning, I stated that every believer must understand they will face opposition in the process of sanctification. It's important for the process of sanctification. Obstacles and opposition are expected from without and within. And the process of sanctification in your life is hindered and it's slowed or it's stunted by three different things. We began last Sunday morning, we looked at the first of those. In the coming weeks we'll look at the rest. But number one is multiple obstacles cause us to be slowed down in our process of sanctification. Number two is half-hearted obedience to Christ. And number three is fierce opposition. An obstacle is anything that prevents me from moving forward. We began last Sunday morning by pondering these questions. What kind of obstacles would a Christian face in striving toward Christ's likeness? What kind of obstacles would a Christian encounter? Along with that, what would hinder spiritual growth and maturity? We then looked at six obstacles that believers face that can hinder the work of sanctification. We only had enough time last Sunday morning to get to the first four of those. This morning we'll look at the last two. But the first four of those, obstacle number one is unconfessed sin. Obstacle number two was following the wrong pattern for the Christian life. Obstacle number three was spiritual callousness rather than sensitivity. Obstacle number four was the lack of spiritual nourishment. We looked at three areas that we can be fed spiritually last Sunday morning. One is through our personal time in the Word of God. Perhaps your personal devotional time is one of the areas that we can be fed from the Word of God. Along with that, perhaps you have the opportunity to be involved in a Bible study. A Bible study is a great way to nourish your soul spiritually. Along with that, we don't like to think about it sometimes, but church services and the preaching and teaching of God's Word are oftentimes where our soul is nourished. It's strengthened. We close our time with these thoughts. What in your life right now is hindering your progress towards sanctification? Is it unconfessed sin? Is it following a pattern other than Jesus Christ? Is there spiritual callousness in your life? And are you not getting enough of God's Word to keep you going? We close with, may God help each of us to identify and eliminate obstacles in our path towards sanctification. For by now, would you look with me, if you would, at verse 1 and down through verse number 8. I'll begin reading in verse 1 this morning. I would invite you to join me in standing as we publicly honor the reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1 this morning. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God for you, your sanctification, that you should abstain. You should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to continue looking at opposition that we face in the process of sanctification. We're going to finish looking at that first area of opposition that we face, those multiple obstacles that are, as I stated last Sunday morning, things that are constantly challenging to us, things that are constantly changing. And I think all of us, if we were honest this morning, we are not at the same point, if you know Jesus Christ today, as you were at the point when you first trusted Him. You've grown. You're in a different place. There's different challenges that you face in your Christian life. There's different sin struggles that you face in your Christian life. We already looked at the first four of those six obstacles that believers face that hinder spiritual growth. That process of sanctification in your life is hindered, it's slowed, it's stunted by one or any combination of those. Before we get into our study this morning, I'd like to direct our attention to God in prayer and ask His time to bless our time, ask Him to bless our time in prayer this morning. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, we're thankful for the privilege that we have to study Your Word. Father, would You give me clarity of thought this morning as I bring forth the Word of God that You have laid upon my heart, that I have studied faithfully this past week to prepare so that I might have something to challenge each and every one of us. Father, it's been a challenge to even myself just to have studied this in the past week and the things that You have shown me in my own life. Father, this morning as I bring forth the Word of God, would You give me clarity of thought? Would You help me to remember the things that I have studied? Hide me behind the cross, that I would not be a hindrance to the Word of God as it goes forward this morning. Father, the Holy Spirit might show us areas in our lives where we need to make changes, that You might help each and every one of us as we grow in the process of sanctification. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Opposition and Progressive Sanctification, Part 2. When you stop and you think about opposition that we face in progressive sanctification, part of the problem that we as Christians face in that process of sanctification is that we face obstacles. And in a lot of times, we have no idea how to overcome obstacles. Especially in our Christian lives. In fact, when we are confronted with an obstacle, we have the sit down, give up, go no further kind of a mentality. And it's interesting when you think about the Christian life today, how many Christians there are that hit a point in their Christian life where they feel they cannot go any further, or they don't want to go any further, and they sit down. And rather than overcoming the obstacle, they choose to sit down and grow no further. But we have two obstacles when we face, two choices when we face obstacles. We either let the obstacle keep us from going forward, or we overcome it with God's help and God's Spirit who works in our lives. As I said, one of the things in sanctification is this being filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. That is the fact that we are filled and we are living under His direction and His guiding. The Holy Spirit wants to help us overcome obstacles, amen? But oh, how often do we give up on Him because the obstacles look too hard? Obstacles are not always easy to overcome. But the Scripture says nothing is impossible with God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there is not a sinful obstacle that you may be facing in your Christian life that God can't help you overcome. Maybe you look at this list of obstacles that you have there on your outline and you go, there's just so many of those things that I face and they're obstacles and I don't know how to overcome them. Can I tell you the answer is found in the person of God? He is the one that wants to help you through the Holy Spirit to overcome these things. Some of us need to have the idea of overcoming obstacles that some of the following people did. Perhaps you know Johnny Fulton. Johnny Fulton was run over by a car at the age of 3. He suffered crushed hips, broken ribs, and a fractured skull, and compound fractures in his legs. It did not look as if he would even live, but he would not give up. In fact, he later ran the half mile in less than 2 minutes. Most of us today couldn't do that. But yet, after all he went through, he overcame that. But he's not the only one. Listen to this. In 1938, Carl Takis, a member of Hungary's world championship pistol shooting team and a sergeant in the army, lost his right hand when a grenade he was holding exploded. he would not give up. He learned to shoot with his left hand and went on to win gold medals in the 1948 and the 1952 Olympics. Talk about overcoming. Woodrow Wilson could not read until he was 10 years old. He became the 28th president of the United States. Imagine what it would be like today if you had to start learning at age 10. At the age of 7, he had to go to work to help support his family. At age 9, his mother died. At age 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. At age 23, he went into debt and became a partner in a small store. At age 26, his partner died, leaving him in a huge debt. By the age of 35, he had been defeated twice when running for a seat in Congress. At the age of 37, he won the election. At the age of 39, he lost his re-election bid. At age 41, his 4-year-old son died. At age 42, he was rejected for a land officer role. At age 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At age 47, he was defeated for the nomination for vice president. At age 49, he ran for the Senate again and lost again. At the age of 51, he was elected president of the United States of America. And during his second term, he was assassinated. But the name lives among some of the greats in U.S. history. We know him as Abraham Lincoln. A man determined not to give up, no matter what the obstacle. You have on your outline there an obstacle, as I said last Sunday morning. An obstacle is anything that prevents me from moving forward. Some of those obstacles are barriers. Some of them are hurdles. Some of those are stumbling blocks. Some of those are snags. Some of those are problems. Some of those are things that stand opposite to us. Some of those things are they're things that try to thwart us in the Christian life. What is your obstacle? Let me ask you a question this morning as we begin. What kind of obstacle would a Christian face who's striving for Christ's likeness? The easy answer this morning is all of them. All of the obstacles. Some of us have a hard time understanding this, but the devil isn't on board with God in you growing in sanctification, if you haven't caught that yet. He doesn't want you to grow. He's determined you are not going to grow. And we oftentimes think, I can grow if I just do these things. And that's true, but you know what? A lot of these obstacles that come up in our Christian life, we pay no attention to. They're the elephant in the room of our spiritual lives, so to speak. They're a major obstacle, and we don't see it. We looked last Sunday morning at the first of those four. We're going to look at the last two this morning. To review these very quickly, obstacle number one is unconfessed sin. Aren't you thankful we can confess sin to God, forsake it? He cleanses us and makes us clean today. Aren't you thankful for that? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter how hard you pursue sanctification, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you will go nowhere. I love treadmills, but you know what I've learned about treadmills? You go nowhere. It says you do, but you really don't. Unconfessed sin keeps us from actually moving forward. We think we're moving, but really we're just walking in the same place. Reasons why we don't deal with sin in our lives. Pride, we don't want to admit that we have any problems. Think again. We have big sin problems, we just don't like to admit it. We justify sin. We justify it. It's okay in the moment. It's okay for this reason, for me to do this. It's okay. We live under grace. God will forgive it. And Paul said, just because we live under grace doesn't mean that we should use grace as an excuse. All sin is sin, no matter what the sin is. Sometimes it's ignorance. Sometimes we think that we're better off spiritually than most people. We don't have unconfessed sin. One of the great dangers that we face in our lives is getting to the point where we think that we do not sin anymore. And there are a lot of Christians that have that opinion. what sin or sins might be hindering your process of sanctification. Obstacle number two, following the wrong pattern for your life. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God on high. And all God's people should say amen. He laid out for us a pattern, an example, how to live this life here on earth. You want to live a godly life, live like Christ lived. Demonstrate love like Christ did. He's given us a pattern, but oftentimes we don't want to follow his pattern. And so we choose to follow one of the following patterns. We follow the world's pattern for our lives. To be happy, to be contented, to have every new thing. Or we follow the pattern of our own sinfully depraved hearts. We live according to what my heart tells me. We live a life based on feeling rather than on faith. And folks, our hearts will lead us a long ways from the person of Jesus Christ. Though you be saved, though you be a child of God, you still are fighting your flesh. We're to be looking to Jesus for the way that we live this life. We're to pattern our lives after his. Are you following his pattern for your life? Obstacle number three is spiritual callousness rather than sensitivity. James chapter 1, we looked at last Sunday morning, says that we are to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And there are times where we can become so spiritually calloused in our Christian lives, we become numb to the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. We could read God's word without ever really listening. We can listen to God's words preached without ever applying it. We can sense the Holy Spirit is convicting our hearts, yet never ever yield ourselves over to God in obedience. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we ought to be sensitive toward the things of God. Are you spiritually calloused and no longer sensitive toward the things of God? Obstacle number four, very quickly in review, is the lack of spiritual nourishment. I like to eat, you like to eat, and folks, we ought to have a healthy appetite for the things of God. When it comes to the Word of God, as I said last Sunday morning, a lot of Christians try to live their Christian life on crumbs, and I like it better illustrated this way. We live our lives on Tic Tacs. Because we like to keep them in a little container, we like to hang on to them, we take one whenever it feels convenient. We try to live our lives on Tic Tacs, and folks, we need more than Tic Tacs to live. We try to live off the crumbs spiritually of other believers without ever opening the Word of God. God's Word is not something that we simply are to just read, it's something that we're to apply. If you really want to live a life that's changed because of Jesus Christ, you've got to apply the Word of God. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. The writer says, by now you should be able to feed yourself spiritually, but you need somebody once again to share with you the oracles of the milk of God's Word. You're not able to take solid food. As I shared, there's three areas that we can be fed spiritually. Your personal devotion time, Bible studies, church services. That list could go on and on of times where you can feed your soul. Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bereans wanted to grow and be nourished. They searched the scriptures daily. Are you doing that? To see if these things are so, but seeing how you can apply them. Are you getting enough nourishment from God's word to keep you growing? Obstacle number five this morning, very, very quickly. Obstacle number five is a lack of desire or enthusiasm. A lack of desire or enthusiasm. Some of us, when we hear spiritual growth, when we hear sanctification, this is our enthusiasm. Right? Wow! Actually, no, the most common attitude towards spiritual growth is, oh boy. this again. We have no desire, we have no enthusiasm. You ever met people that don't have enthusiasm? Do you hang around them a lot? I love to read the Old Testament. I love to study the nation of Israel. You know what the problem with the nation of Israel is? They never had any enthusiasm to really do things for God. They complained, they moaned, they whined. And you know what? It's a lot like many believers today. There's no desire. There's no enthusiasm. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we were last Sunday morning. And I want to pick up on these thoughts here. We'll come back to 1 Thessalonians 4 in a few moments. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read this passage last week. These 22 areas of temptation and conflict. Verse 1 begins in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Sometimes we don't want to grow spiritually because of a lack of enthusiasm. And this is especially true of somebody who's been a Christian for a long time. Things get old, don't they? That's why most of you, when you go home today to enjoy your time and rest, you're not going to sit down and type on a typewriter. Because it's old. It's outdated. It's become useless. Some of us in our Christian lives, we feel as though the desire to grow spiritually, it's just old. We don't want to do that anymore. It's boring. In fact, it's almost as if over time some believers become spiritually apathetic toward the process of sanctification. You know what apathy is, right? I don't know and I don't care. And that's how a lot of Christians act. There's no desire, there's no enthusiasm to grow. The greatest indictment of many Christians is not that they're falling short of the mark, but that they've quit striving for the mark. They have become complacent about the Christian life. There's no desire to pursue anything at all. A couple weeks ago, I was out hunting, bow hunting. And I was sitting in my stand, and I had a doe come in right as I wanted to. And I got the bow back, I got it drawn, and I let that arrow fly, and thump, you could hear it hit the deer. And you're sitting in the deer stand trying to be quiet. Yes, I got it, right? I got it, and I watched it, and it went traipsing away. And I waited for a while, and I got down out of my deer stand, and I went to go look for the arrow and follow the trail of blood, try to find this deer. And I followed it. And I followed it. And I followed it. And I followed it. And 1 hour went by. And 2 hours went by. And all of a sudden, finding a deer didn't seem too fun. The shot that I thought was so good probably wasn't that good. It wasn't as good as I thought it was. And that pursuit, that striving, I came home, I changed clothes, I got a cup of coffee, I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to find this deer. And I went back out, and you know what? I didn't find the deer. I pursued it to a point and gave up. And that's how a lot of Christians are. There's a desire right away to grow. And over time, that desire disappears. Notice this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. Drop down to the end of verse number 4. Lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Loving pleasure rather than loving God. Loving the things that please me, myself, and I. Scripture says that we are to delight ourselves also in the Lord. Loving God, as you recall, is one of the goals of sanctification, to love Him 100% and to do so with great desire. We are commanded to love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And perhaps, Christian, you're here today and you'd say, yep, That's me. I just don't have a desire or enthusiasm to pursue sanctification. I've been a Christian for so long, it's become boring. I know what I should do, what I should be doing to progress in sanctification, but my spirit of enthusiasm is gone. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and admit that today. But you know what? There's probably a few. And if that's you, you're probably asking these questions this morning. What's the solution to this? Is it even possible for me to get the enthusiasm I had as a new Christian back and to pursue sanctification in Christ's likeness? Is that even a possibility? I want to give you some suggestions this morning for overcoming an obstacle like this. A lack of desire or enthusiasm. Number one this morning is this. Find someone who is enthusiastically pursuing sanctification and grow with them. You've lost that spark, that sense of, wow, I got to know, I got to grow in my Christian life. You've lost that. Can I tell you, find somebody that is enthusiastic. They rub off on you. Find somebody that is growing and grow with them. Grow alongside of them. Maybe another way you could overcome this is this. Stop and rethink about how and when you came to Christ. When was it? What happened? Where were you? Realize a lot of us, we forget the joy that Scripture says, the joy of your salvation. We forget that. Go back. Think about it. Remind yourself often. Jesus Christ didn't have to save you, but He chose to. Amen? And that ought to produce joy in your life. It ought to reignite the flames of your spiritual life. Remember how much you wanted to live for Him in that moment of salvation? What's changed between now and then? Is it Him? No, the answer is it's you. Maybe another way that you could combat this obstacle is this. Pray and ask God to give you a deep desire to grow spiritually. To give you that enthusiasm, that desire. You ever pray and ask God to strengthen your faith? To build in you a desire to pursue sanctification? Scripture says, if anyone asks of God, what does Scripture say? He will receive if he asks without doubt. We need to be asking God, grow my faith. Another thing with this, put 100% effort into intentionally growing in Christ's likeness. You know, a lack of desire or enthusiasm is usually because we only give a certain amount of our pursuit. When we're sold out, we're sold out. When you're a Chicago Bears fan, you're a Chicago Bears fan whether they're terrible or not. If you're a Dodgers fan, like the World Series last night, you're a Dodgers fan no matter whether they blow it at the end of the game or not. Or you're a diehard and you watch all 18 innings, right? You're a diehard fan. You put all you have in a pursuit. Put all you have in your pursuit of sanctification. We struggle because we have a lack of desire or enthusiasm. We love ourselves more than we love God. Are you struggling with your desire to pursue Christ's likeness and sanctification? Obstacle number six this morning is this. If I could take all of these obstacles that you face in the Christian life and I could put one of those at the top of that list, this would be the one. You have on your outline there, not being fully surrendered to God. Of all of the hindrances, of all of the obstacles, of all of the things in your life that are your responsibility that will keep you from growing spiritually, it is not being fully surrendered to God. When you and I, we think about surrender, we think of giving up something or losing something that means a great deal to us. I love to study the wars. I love to study especially like the Civil War and that type of era. When a battle would be fought and a battle would be surrendered on the part of one group to the other, or perhaps it was the war. There would be a general that would meet a general, and in turn he would surrender his sword, if you will. He would give it to the other general, signifying his surrender. Oftentimes there was a paper that would be signed signifying that they surrendered to whatever the other group was. Folks, can I tell you something? Our understanding of the word surrender is a little skewed when we think of God. When we think of surrendering ourselves to God, when we think of fully surrendering ourselves, we think we're losing something. Scripture, and there's a verse that just came to mind while I'm standing here. And that verse is this. If a man wants to keep his soul, what does he have to do? Scripture says, gain the whole world but lose his soul. Some of us, when we think about being fully surrendered, we think that we're losing something when we surrender to God. In fact, this is the reality. By failing to surrender ourselves to God, we lose even more. We don't think about it that way. But when we don't surrender ourselves to God, we lose more than if we do surrender. Perhaps another way that we could say this morning is commitment. We have a lack of commitment to God. All of the other obstacles, all of the other hindrances are in a way simply a manifestation of this final obstacle, a lack of surrender to God. We're living in a day when most people instinctively draw back or they pull away from the idea of surrender or of commitment. And as believers, we ought to be committed to God, fully surrendered to Him. Go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. I want to remind you of familiar verses of Scripture. We know these. We can probably quote these. Romans chapter 12, Paul writes this, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, a living surrender, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Fully surrendering ourselves to God. When I give myself to God, when I fully surrender, I'm not trying to crawl back off the altar of the living God. I'm committed to Him. I'm surrendered to Him. But oh, how many times we try to crawl off the altar and go back to life before Christ. We're not fully surrendered. We say we are, but we're not. We're a living sacrifice. Can I tell you something? We are to keep ourselves on the altar because we have surrendered ourselves to God. It's not God's job to keep us on the altar, because what Paul says, it's this. You are to present yourself a living sacrifice. You're the sacrifice. You're the one presenting yourself. You have to keep yourself there. Being fully surrendered to God. Listen to this. Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 21. He said this. For me to live is Christ. Fully surrendered to Him. For me to live is Christ. I'm fully surrendered to whatever He has. There are some dangers that we face, though, in not being fully surrendered to God. The unsurrendered self, the unsurrendered person, manifests itself as self-indulgence. When we're not fully surrendered to God, we become self-indulgent people. We indulge in our own selfish wants, our own selfish desires, rather than being fully surrendered to God. An unsurrendered individual, number two, is motivated by self-destructive desires. What does Scripture say? When sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. Can I tell you something this morning? That your own unsurrendered selfish wants, selfish desires will lead to destruction. And number three, the unsurrendered self may also manifest itself through self-sufficiency. When we're not fully surrendered to God, we're relying on ourselves. We become self-sufficient, we think. Being fully surrendered to God, you have on your outline, being fully surrendered to God isn't just for Sunday mornings, amen? Let me reemphasize that again. Being fully surrendered to God isn't just Sunday mornings. Being fully surrendered to God isn't just when you're at church, amen? Being fully surrendered to God means I'm fully surrendered to God all the time, period. Fully surrendered to Him in all kinds of things. It's the whole week. It's Sunday through Saturday. Every week. Every day of every year of my life. Fully surrendered. It's all of my thoughts. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, and look at this very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says this: casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All of our thoughts, folks, are to be surrendered to the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every thought captive. Every thought surrendered. We don't have time to go there, but 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 talks about our words. We're to lay aside evil speaking. Colossians talks about how we're to let no corrupt communication. We're to surrender the things that we say over to Him. Fully surrendered. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the passage that we read for our scripture reading. And I want to emphasize this morning, because this is where a lot of Christians today have missed something. Part of being surrendered to God is what I do or what I don't do with this body. Your body is not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in it. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from immorality, that you should know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor. Drop down to verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Whatever I do in this body, I am called by God to be a person of purity. Amen? I don't know how to say this morning any clearer. God's people ought to be pure, amen? And they ought to strive for it. Are we perfect people? No. Are we going to fall? Yes, but you know what? It's what we're striving toward. People of purity, fully surrendered to God. We're to be fully surrendered to what God would have us do and be fully committed to follow through in that. One of the things about surrendering is this. There are no reserves when you surrender. There are no reserves. When you surrender it all. That's why the hymn writer said, I surrender all. But we sing it, I surrender some. I surrender a little. I wonder, can you really say that this morning? I surrender all.
If you would like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us on Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7.